Psalms 45. Candy Thompson's having a... Is it today's your birthday or tomorrow or Thursday? She'll be having a birthday, and I think she said she's going to be 21 years old. God bless her. Carl Mary's having a 60th anniversary. Mary, when she got Carl, she had a Mac attack. Amen. 60 years. God bless them. You know, I watched them. Our seniors, we have dedicated senior citizens. I mean, I looked at that seed line, and Tommy's like, how old are you, 73, Tommy? There was a ton of our seniors there for seed line. I mean, several. And, you know, they're in their 70s and 80s, and they're right there working all day long. And I just thank God for our senior citizens of our church. They're dedicated. And you young people, if those older ladies or older men ever want to say something to you, you sit down, you take it. You be like a sponge. You take everything they want to tell you in, because they've learned over the years. And learn from the older ones. They've been through it. Oh, they don't know what I'm going through, preacher. Trust me, they were your... The gray-haired people were once your age, years ago. Amen. But and over the years that we've learned, went through a lot of experiences. I want to talk to you tonight. The Lord put this in my heart yesterday. Just a thought. And I said, wow. I want to talk to you on the thought. The oil... Here's the title of the message. The oil of gladness. How many like to be glad? I believe there's a truth about gladness. I believe there's a truth. I believe, Carl, I believe there's an underlying truth that God gives us in His Word. If you like to have gladness, by the way, one day we'll always have gladness in heaven. But until then, we can still have parts of gladness while we're here now. Amen? And Psalms 45, verse 7. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. What an exciting week we had. This has been a tremendous week. Boy, you can't get anything better than this. Great ladies' banquet yesterday. That great seed line. I mean, just everything we had. Boy, that Wednesday night, Eddie, when we came over and prayed over the 15,000 gospel scriptures were here in the boxes. Man, when we got around, I was a whole church and prayed over those. Wow. I don't know, Roddy. My heart's still pitter-patter over that. Amen? And we had a lot of fun this week. So you can have fun serving God. And it's been exciting. Very exciting. And again, all you ladies that played such a part in that ladies' banquet, thank you. A lot of hours. A lot of work went into that. I'm telling you, there was a lot of work went into that. It was very special. Very special. And I'm glad that we had it. Probably one of the greatest ones we ever had. Alrighty, tonight, for a few moments, I want to challenge you with the Word of God about the oil of gladness. And notice, it says in verse 7, "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness." Are you in Psalms 45 with me? "Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." By the way, that same scripture is recorded in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. That same scripture is recorded in the New Testament in Hebrews 1, 9. I believe it's referring about the Father anointing Jesus. I believe it's talking about Jesus there. And look at verse 15. Talks about, I believe this is referring to heaven. "With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought, and they shall enter into the king's palace." One day we're going into the king's place, amen? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus, the place we call heaven, a place that He's prepared for us. Man, I'm excited about that, aren't you? There'll be forevermore gladness there, because the King of Gladness is going to be there. Jesus. Amen. Notice that verse 7 again. "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. I want to speak to you this evening about the oil of gladness. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. And Lord, how precious it is. Tonight, Lord, I want to be a blessing. Please, thank you. Lord, a lot of folks were tired. They had a big day today, yet they still came back to the house of God. Thank you for faithful people. Lord, bless them for being here tonight. Please, as their pastor, Lord, I am so honored that they're here. Help me to be a blessing to them tonight. Come down and meet with our hearts. Lord, make your presence known. And Father, for all that will hear this tape, this message over the internet, I pray that many will be blessed through the hearing of God's word preached. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated. I noted in verse 7 of Psalms 45 that exact verse is quoted again and recorded in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. I believe it's referring to Jesus. That Jesus has been anointed by the Father with the oil of gladness. I believe it's saying the Father anointed the Son with the oil of gladness. Jesus brings the oil of gladness to those who will love Him and love righteousness. Did you know? Think with me. In heaven, gladness replaces sorrow. Gladness is going to replace sickness. Gladness is going to replace tears. Gladness is going to replace trials. And gladness is going to replace death. Can anyone say amen? Think with me. Sorrow, sickness, tears, death are forever removed from heaven, according to Revelation 21:4, because it says there shall be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death, for the former things are passed away, according to Revelation 21:4. Can anyone say amen? And that's all because sin is put away forever. No sin will ever enter heaven. How many are glad there will be no sin enter heaven? We live in a sinful, perverse, crooked world today. But when we get to heaven, says the door is closed. No more sin will ever enter in. The curse will be taken off. Hallelujah. Revelation 21:27 says, and there shall be in no wise enter into anything that defileth. And so we're going to a perfect place, a prepared place. But if you notice, I want to just give you a thought. Thou, verse 7, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Do you see that? You know, I believe this oil of gladness, Brother Carl, is connected with holiness. I believe it's connected with righteousness. I believe those that seek righteousness, seek holiness, seek to do right, shun evil, I believe this oil of gladness, that they know what God's talking about here. Can anyone say amen? Now, listen, get this. In heaven, throughout all countless ages of eternity, all we will ever know is joy and gladness. I mean, Romans says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this, 8:18 of Romans, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen? And so, all we'll ever know in heaven is joy and gladness. All we'll ever feel in heaven will be joy and gladness. All we'll ever experience in heaven will be joy and gladness. Can anyone say amen? I can't wait to get there. Amen? Through countless ages of endless eternity, we will have joy and gladness forever and forevermore. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. Robert's been preaching about salvation in Sunday school. I don't think we get excited enough about our salvation. I don't think we get excited enough about heaven. And yeah, this is reality that's kind of, oh, we haven't got it yet, but it's going to come. It's a surety. Amen? Listen, Jesus wants us to have this gladness now. Oh, I know we're going to get it in heaven, Eddie. But Jesus says, hey, I want you to experience it now in this life. John 10:10, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus wants us to have an abundant life. And that abundant life is receiving and experiencing the joy of and the oil of gladness. Can anyone say amen? Listen, we don't have to wait to get to heaven to know the gladness that God has for us. We can know and feel and experience the oil of gladness from our Savior in this life, now, in today. God has it there waiting for us. And the question is, preacher, how do we get this oil of gladness? Well, I'm glad you asked me. I want you to look at Psalms 45:7 and notice, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, because he loved righteousness and hate wickedness, therefore thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. How many see that? The oil of gladness came because righteousness was loved and wickedness was hated. Did you see that? Did you ever notice people that really love righteousness? They have a joy in their heart. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. You never see a transgressor happy. But boy, those people that love the Lord, you see a lot of joy in their heart. It doesn't matter what condition they're in, they still have joy. Amen? Well, I want to give you some scriptures and some illustrations, a few of them tonight, to illustrate to you this oil of gladness that the Lord put in my heart to share with you. And I've got them right in order. Look at Psalms 51. Psalms 51. And look at verse 5. I'm going to read to you from verse 5 through 12. I'm in Psalms 51. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part of thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Man, I'm glad I'm whiter than snow in God's eyes. Amen. I am, because Christ cleansed me of all my sin when I asked him to save me. Make me to hear joy. Look at verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness. We're talking about the oil of gladness tonight. Did you notice something, Eddie? That joy and gladness came right after they were made whiter than snow. How many see that? In verse 7, he's talking about being, that I shall be whiter than snow. In other words, he's talking about his sins being forgiven. How many see that? And then after this, the very next verse, where Jack, after his sins are forgiven, he's talking about gladness and joy. And I noted how it says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities, verse 9. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. In the Old Testament, the Spirit rested upon people and left. Now in the New Testament, and after Christ died for us and arose and ascended, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. He sends the Holy Spirit in it. And now the Holy Spirit literally lives in us. Matter of fact, once you trust Christ, you're saved. The Holy Spirit comes into you. And the Scripture says that Holy Spirit, you're sealed until the day of redemption. In Ephesians 4:3, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. So it's not going to leave you. It's there till the rapture. Amen? Can anyone say amen? Now, I want you to know something. This gladness, there is gladness within our hearts when we know our sins are forgiven. There is gladness in our hearts when we know our sins are forgiven. This gladness only comes by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, I noted, do you remember the joy, the gladness you had in your heart when you got saved? How many remember when they got saved? I want to tell you something. I remember at 1034 and half Sherman Street, at Upper Duplex, I remember getting down to that old green couch and asking Christ to save me. And I'm going to tell you, man, I went to bed happy that night. Eddie, there was a gladness in my heart. And Bobby, since I've been saved, that gladness has always been in there. There's something about knowing that you're saved, knowing that you're a child of God. It brings a spirit of gladness. How many know what I'm talking about? Say amen. And so, number one, that's the spirit of the oil of gladness comes to those who have repented of their sin. By the way, again, you're repenting of your sin. That's turning from wicked and turning to righteousness. Are you with me? How many are with me? And turning to Christ, which is the righteousness, our righteousness. Amen. And working off that truth of Psalms 45:7. Are you still with me? How many are thinking with me? It's all connected. That if you want that gladness, it's always connected with holiness, righteousness. And, of course, Christ is our righteousness. So it stems from our Savior, Christ, the gladness, the oil of gladness. Can anyone say amen? Look at another scripture with me. Psalms 97, verse 10. Look at Psalms 97, verse 10 and 11. Ye that love the Lord. How many love the Lord? Hate evil. Oh, what does that say? What does it say back there in Psalms 45, 7? You love righteousness and hateth evil, wickedness. Remember that? Yea, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth. Yes, he does. I'm not holding on to Jesus. He's holding on to me. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivered them out of the hand of the wicked. Watch this. Light is sown for the righteous. And gladness. And gladness. Let me see that. That oil of gladness for the upright in heart. The upright in heart experience the oil of gladness. I know here the upright in heart can go through trials. Yet even during a trial, they can have gladness. They can be going through some health issues, yet they still can have gladness, upright in heart. They can even have financial problems, but still experience gladness. You know, see, the oil of gladness is not dependent on our status in life as far as worldly things. It's dependent on our walk with God and our heart and our love for the things of God. How many understand what I'm trying to say to you? And Rosie mentioned when years ago when we were first starting the ministry, our gas was shut off. And it was in Tammy's letter. And Mom used to carry up the water. And we had an electric stove. And thank God for electric stoves. Amen. Mary knows all about electric stoves. Sometimes she heats her house. And, you know, I thought about global warming. I know why we have global warming. It's the heat coming from Mary's house that's doing it. She's actually melting the polar ice caps. And God bless our little Mary. But anyways, Bridgetown is about 14 degrees hotter than any area around. If you want to warm up, just drive around that Smith Road and Sandy Lake Grand area and 44. You'll get a little warmer. Mary keeps the oven on and keeps it going. All those cakes and pies she makes and everything else, she keeps the heat on over there. Amen. But I remember, even though we didn't have a lot, we didn't have a lot of food, we didn't have, and David knows that we didn't have no gas to heat our house. Praise God, it was more in the summer. It wasn't the summer, but it was warm. And we weren't cold. And we carried this is years ago, 20-some years ago. And but there still was my home, even though we didn't have a lot, we still had gladness in our home. You don't have to have riches and fame to have gladness. See, gladness comes from God. Amen? And so, we're thankful that the upright in heart can experience the oil of gladness. Look at Psalms 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Gladness comes to those who really serve the Lord from their heart. Those who serve in the flesh will not know the gladness of the Lord. You know, people say, I'm busy. Well, if you're busy in the flesh, that's your reward. But those who really, like Tammy wrote in that letter, how Rosie plays the piano. It's a gift that God gave her. And she really, Rosie doesn't do it. She does it for God. She really does. And people that really do things for God, people that really, look, they don't care if they're seen. They don't even want to be seen. They just want to serve God. Those people that serve God from the heart, they know the oil of gladness. Because when you're really serving God from your heart, with a true heart, with a loving heart, I'm going to tell you right now, there's people that are really serving Oh, you get tired, but there's a gladness in serving God. When you're serving God, you're happy. You're there serving Him. Amen? And Debbie and Rod was talking to me this afternoon after church, and they were in some church preaching, and sometimes you think, boy, you know, we don't even know if we're doing any good at all. And I guess some lady wrote him or came up to him and said, you know, you were at another place, and I heard you, we were getting ready to get a divorce. But you're singing and your message, God changed Rod's message that night. And Rod said, I got to stop for a minute. God wants me. He didn't know nothing about this people. And the next day they were going to get a divorce. And Roddy preached not knowing what, just trying to obey God. And this family, they got together. They stopped the divorce. And now they're living for God. And it's amazing. You know, I said, the reason he did, because you were there serving him. You know, there's a lot of things that you do, Lizzie and Eddie. You'll never know on this side, Eddie, how many people's lives you affected. And like they were going to have that lady's going to have a child that one was, and that child grew up and they're going to teach them. You don't know. Then you reach somebody, they reach somebody else. It's all because of what you did that you reached out and by serving God. It's important to serve God. But it's important to serve God with our hearts. And I think those who really serve God lovingly know that the oil of gladness. Can anyone say amen? And then look at another scripture, Psalms 106, verse 5. I'm trying to not be too long tonight. 106, verse 5. The psalmist said in Psalms 106, verse 5, that I may see the good of thy chosen. Now, I know Israel's chosen. But I know God's people are chosen too. Amen? That I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. I know it could be no doubt referring to the nation of Israel. But I think we can use another spiritual application. I believe it could be this could be an application to a people or a nation. Amen? I personally believe, Brother Rod, that America was chosen by God. I really believe God raised America up. No country's ever published the Word of God like America has. No one's ever sent out the gospel like America has. I'm going to tell you, in God we trust. Our forefathers were Christians. God raised America. And God, we sing, God bless America. I'm going to tell you, I believe God has blessed America over the years because America looked to God in their infancy. I believe our country was founded on the Word of God. All your laws, all your commandments, it was all founded from the Word of God. And I noted this. I believe a people, I believe a nation can experience the oil of gladness if they will, starting for the King on down, will repent, love righteousness, and shun evil. Let me quote you a couple of scriptures, and I'll have you turn to Jonah. Proverbs 14:34 says this, righteousness exalts a nation, but sins a reproach to any people. If we seek righteousness, if America will seek righteousness as a whole, America will experience the oil of gladness. How many understand me? Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. So what scares me now is America's turned away from the Lord, and that's why you're going to see a lot of judgments. I want to give you an illustration from the book of Jonah. Look at Jonah chapter 1, and look at verse 7. Jonah chapter 1, verse 7. I'm sorry, 1:17. 1:17. I want you to see something about Jonah. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish, and we know Jesus said in Matthew, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so we know that this was a whale because Jesus called it that in the New Testament. Amen? A great fish. Now the Lord had prepared, isn't it amazing? God even prepared something for Jonah, that backslider. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Because Jonah was running from God. You know the story. I'm not going to preach it tonight. Jonah was God told Jonah to go preach to Nineveh, the people of Nineveh. I believe these are Gentile people. I believe Jonah didn't look down at, I believe he was a Hebrew, Jewish man. And I believe Jonah looked at Gentile people as heathen and no good. And I don't think he wanted to go there, Rod. Well, I know he didn't want to go there, amen. And he ran from God. The Bible said he paid a fare, went to Tarshish. But on the way, there was a storm and they had to throw him overboard. Remember that? And by the way, every time you run from God, you're the one's going to pay the fare. You walk with God, He'll take care of the fare. He'll take care of it. But when you run from Him, you're going to pay the fare. And so, now the Lord had prepared a great fish, we know that's a whale, to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, 3 nights. Of course, Jesus refers to it in Matthew about how the Lord will be in the grave 3 days and 3 nights, just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights. But I want you to see something here. Stay with me. Why was Jonah in that whale's belly? He was swallowed up because he was sin. He was backslidden. Are you still with me? Jonah was swallowed up because he had personal sin of himself. Now notice. Sometimes we are a hindrance to ourselves and others because we are swallowed up. We are swallowed up in our own sin. Are you still with me? Look up here. There's 120,000 people in Nineveh. Scripture says at the end of the chapter there, at the end of the book, there was 120,000 people. God wanted to save 120,000 people. And Jonah was the man that God wanted to send. And Jonah said, no, I'm not going to tell him. I'm not going. It's amazing how our sin not only affects us, but it affects a lot of other people around us. You realize if Jonah don't go to Nineveh, maybe they never hear the message of God? You know, sometimes we get so swallowed up in the things of this world, we don't realize how important it is to be reaching out and telling others about Christ. How many are with me yet? I want you to see, look at Jonah 2:1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Are you with me? How many are glad he prayed?
I am too.
But the sad part is, Roddy, it says he was in the whale's belly 3 days and 3 nights. You got to get this. Can you imagine all the slime and the junk and the seaweed and all the vile junk in that stomach of that whale? Hello? I mean, you kids get that real green, grimy junk stuff. You know, you mess around people with it. He was in stuff worse than that. Slime. Brother Coolidge, you think 5 minutes in that place would be saying, God, get me out of here. Eddie, his heart was so cold towards God. 3 days and 3 nights, 72 hours in the stomach of that whale. How low and how long will people sink before they call on God? How low do people have to get, and how bad does it have to get before people will call on God? And I'm talking about a Christian. What will it take for Christians that are swallowed up in the worldly things that they're doing? How long and how low do you got to go before you cry out to God? I'm telling you tonight, if you're swallowed up in some kind of sin, go to God tonight and say, God, get me out of this. Because there's people that are counting on you to reach out for God to help them so they might know the oil of gladness. I was going to read to you, but you read the next chapters. You'll see how the king, all the way down, they said, everyone's going to repent if they didn't dust sackcloth and ashes. Are you with me? Will you read the next chapter? And they said, peradventure, the Lord will repent and not destroy us. Are you with me? Now, all because of one man, preached an 8-word message. Boy, I've never got that. Boy, Eddie, you know, someday I'll have Jonah week. How could I preach a message of 8 words? You guys would love it. The only thing is, you guys, the deacons say, we better have a meeting. There's something wrong with preacher. There's no way preacher preaches eight words. 8 words. Oh, I never thought about that, Eddie. Now, I think I could do it on that. You gave me an idea, Ed. Because I could preach 4 hours on 1 word. But he preached 8 words. 8 words. Look at the scripture. Verse 4, chapter 3. Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey. He cried and said, here it is. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 8. 8's the number of salvation, new beginning. 8 words. That's it. How many see that? But boy, did they have the power of God on it. He had a message from heaven, and God wanted them to have that message. And if you'll notice, if you look in chapter 4, verse 11, you'll see that, should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, more than 60. There's 20 in a score. So 6 times 20 is 120,000. There was 120,000 persons that could not discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle. 120,000, this preacher, who was all swallowed up in his own problems, finally got repentance in his life, and he goes and reaches out to a city that's going to be destroyed. And this one man that was swallowed up in his own problems, who got right with God for long enough to get out an 8-word message, and 120,000 people got saved. They repented. Are you with me? Now watch. How many people think after those people repented and asked, looked to the Lord and Nineveh, those hearts, how many believe they had gladness in their heart? See, I want you to get this. Ronnie, there's a lot of people like that lady that Debbie told me about. There's a lot of people, rather, you and I know it. And we might never know till we get to the other side. There's a lot of people out there counting on us to give them the word that they might know the oil of gladness. Because when you trust Christ as your Savior, you get that oil of gladness. I wonder how many people today that you and I, because we're swallowed up in some kind of sin in our life, that we're not reaching some people because we're like Jonah, we're swallowed up in something, and we're too stubborn, and we don't get our hearts right. I wonder how many people we could reach even tomorrow if we would make sure we had that oil of gladness upon our life that we could share with others so they could have the gladness. Amen? Oh, I'm so glad that there's an oil of gladness that we can give. And I noted, if Jonah doesn't give that message from God, they never repent. They never receive forgiveness. They never know the oil of gladness. Because salvation brings gladness. Are you with me? Am I making sense to anybody tonight? One man controlled the fate of a whole city. I wonder if Wyndham's counting on you. I wonder if Streetsboro's counting on you. I wonder who in our life and where in our life are people counting on us. It's an awesome thought, isn't it? It's a thought that we say, man, we must stay close to God because there's people out there that need to be touched for Christ that they might have the oil of gladness, salvation through Christ. Can anyone say amen? Now notice, I noticed this, Don't you think there is someone counting on us to bring the message of Christ? It's so important that, listen, it's so important that we don't get swallowed up in some things that are of the world. It's so important that we stay walking for God and not in sin of the world. Because someone out there is counting on us. Someone who will never know gladness unless we bring the message to them about Christ. I wonder how many people Christians fail to reach because they are so caught up in their and swallowed up in their own personal problems and sin that they never get out of the whale's belly to bring the message of gladness to others. Backslidden Christians are so sinful that they never know. You know what? Backslidden Christians don't know. They lose that gladness. Do you ever notice backslidden Christians? They're not happy. They're bitter. Backslidden Christians are bitter. They don't have the joy. They don't have the oil of gladness. They have the root of bitterness deep within them. Backslidden Christians are so sinful, they never know. They lose the gladness of God, and they keep others from knowing the gladness of God too. Can anyone say amen? I'll give you these last thoughts. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28 says this. The hope, Proverbs 10, 28 says this. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. I love that. Proverbs 10, 28. The hope of the righteous. Carl, that oil of gladness is always connected to righteousness. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. You ever wonder why people are always depressed and discouraged and down and mark it down? They've got some stuff in their life probably that's not right. And that's why they can't be happy. Gladness comes when you seek Him. Seek righteousness. He is the King of righteous. I want to give you two more thoughts, and I'll close. Look at the New Testament. Two illustrations. Luke chapter 1. And then the book of Acts. But look at Luke chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. I hope you're understanding what I'm trying to show you tonight. Luke 1, 13 and 14. And John shall have... But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias. This is John the Baptist's father. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth, that's his mother, that's Zacharias' wife, which is Elizabeth is Mary's cousin, mother of Jesus. Elizabeth's her cousin. And shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. See, John the Baptist got his name from heaven. Got his authority from heaven. And thou shalt have, notice, and thou, did they call him John? Did they do exactly what was told? The people wrote Zach, remember his father became deaf, but he brought some, no, I'm going to write his name. His name's not Zacharias, it's going to be John. And the moment he said it, the moment he obeyed, he got to speak. Because trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Are you with me? How many are with me? And notice, and thou shalt have joy and gladness. But not just you. Not just you only. And many shall rejoice. When you do at his birth. In other words, your gladness will spread to others. See, we can either spread gladness to others or we can take it away. Because if I'm not spreading gladness, Lizzie, that means I'm not sharing it. So I can be a giver or not a non-giver. How many understand what I'm saying? Watch now. I noted this. Those who trust and obey God's word will have gladness. Disobedient Christians, doubting Christians, disgruntled Christians forfeit the gladness from the Lord. Let me give you a great illustration from the new church in Acts chapter 2. Here's the first church in Jerusalem. Look at Acts chapter 2. I'm almost done. And then I'm going to give you one last great thought. Man, never saw that till the other day, what I'm going to give you. Not this one, but the last one I'm going to do. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. 241. And they that gladly received his word Boy, see, people were glad when they received his word. When people believe God, boy, you get happy. Amen? They that gladly received his word were baptized. They trusted Christ. The same day were added unto them about 3,000. 3,000 people trusted Christ, their Savior, and were baptized. Look at verse 46. And all these early members of the church in Jerusalem, the first church in Jerusalem, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You know why? Because they were focused on holiness and the righteous and things of God. They didn't let the world and all the evil get into their life. How many see that? Because they cleaved to righteousness and they shunned wickedness, and that's when gladness comes. If you get a church that will cling to righteousness and shun evil, there's a lot of filthy things on your computer. You ought not look at those things on your computer. They're evil. There's a lot of things on TV that are evil. You ought not watch it. There's a lot of bad videos and magazines that are evil. You ought not dabble in that stuff. It's called pornography. It's bad for you, and it's bad. And by the way, when you start dabbling pornography, you'll start giving yourself to the world, and you mark her down, the oil of gladness will leave you. You won't experience the oil of gladness from God. Because God, the oil of gladness is in righteousness. It's in holiness. Are you still with me? Watch. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily. How many see that? That should be saved. How many see that? Man, there's gladness there. Amen? Why? Because they were obeying and believing God. Let me give you one great truth here. And I'm going to have you turn to Acts chapter 12, and I'll be, this is it, I'm done. Acts chapter 12. I want you to see, it's a familiar thing. Peter's in jail. Peter's thrown in jail. Okay? Look in Acts 12:5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Boy, thank God for a praying church. Wow. I believe that. I believe in prayer. I really do. I believe God answers prayer. I really do. I believe churches, there'll be times I put you on that phone, pray for this and pray for them. I'll be probably sending messages to pray for Glenn Stemple's mother. She was here today, but she's going to be facing a lot of things. And pray for Robert's mother. You know, and I'm going to tell you, those ladies are facing some major issues in their life. We prayed over Robbie's mother after church today. Me and Robert and David prayed over Robbie's mom this morning after everybody left. We brought her up the altar and we prayed over her. She asked us to do that. And I was very happy to do that. Now, I want you to see something. Look at verse 11. You know the angels come and let Peter out. How many are with me? And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now, even Peter can't. He thinks he's dreaming, Lizzie. Even Peter thinks he's dreaming. Are you with me? Now I know of a certainty that the Lord had sent his angel, had delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Now watch verse 12 through 16. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Remember, Paul took John Mark with him on that first missionary. How many remember that? John Mark. When many were gathered together praying. And they're praying for Peter because it told you that in verse 5. Are you with me? And as Peter knocked at the door, verse 13, of the gate, the damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. Here comes little Rhoda. Amen? Watch 14. I'm going to go down to 14, 15, but then I'm going to come back to 14, and I'm close on verse 4. I'm going to hit on 16 and come back on 14. 14 is my end verse, but I'm going to read it right now. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. She opened not the gate for gladness.
She opened not the gate for gladness. I'm going to come back to that. But ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. They said unto her, "Thou art mad." She could tell. Here they're praying for him. Oh, man, get out of here. God ain't going to answer that fast. See, that's the trouble with us. We don't believe God can answer. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. No, I'm not lying to you. He's really there. Then they said, "It's his angel." Listen, if that happened to us, we'd probably do the same thing. And Debbie, if an angel stood in front of us, I'd get the willies. Hello? And you guys would too. But this ain't an angel, this is Peter. And I know there ain't no preacher that's an angel, amen? Roddy said, "Amen." And he said, "Yeah, but I know that." But Peter, look at verse 16. Boy, thank God for Peter. He continued to knock. See, if you want doors to open, every time you knock, the door just doesn't open the first time. You've got to keep knocking sometimes. Keep knocking. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, watch, I circled these words, Carl. They were astonished. Now, Deborah, I noted in my notes. Why would they be astonished? They were in constant prayer for him. I'm going to give you a great truth, Eddie. God gave me something that I never realized. I knew it, but I didn't really understand. It really came to life to me yesterday as I studied this. How many saw they were praying for him? Okay. But the Bible says, when he stood there, Jack, they were astonished. They did, although they were praying, they weren't believing God to do it. And verse 14, watch verse 14. She opened not the gate for gladness. Watch this. Wow. Man, I got it. Rod, if Rhoda would have been praying, believing, God, I'm asking you to release Peter, do a miracle. Lord, I'm believing that you're going to do it in the name of Jesus. If they would have really believed, not just asked, but really believed that God would deliver him, when he came, she would have opened that door, that gate, with, she said she did not open it with gladness, but if she would have prayed, believing, that gate would have opened with gladness. And she said, "Oh my God, thank you, God. You answered our prayer for Peter." The reason she didn't have gladness is because when they prayed, they didn't have faith that God would answer. I'm going to give you something here, and I'm all done. I know why some people sometimes, Roddy. Remember when we paid the land off, Lizzie? Some of them, we burnt the mortgage, almost burnt. Some people really had gladness. Others, I don't know. You know why? They never believed the land was going to be paid, this property. When we paid the land off, some people got excited. But some didn't. Because they never really believed we'd get the land. I'm telling you right now, Bobby, I'm asking God to do a miracle, and I believe he's going to do it. And when we put that building up there, a 250 by 250 building, I'm going to have the oil of gladness. But some of the people, Brother Jack, are not going to have the oil of gladness because even though they're asking, they're not really believing. See, When we pray, if we don't pray in faith, believing, when God answers, we forfeit the oil of gladness. Faith. Faith. God honors faith. And faith brings down the oil of gladness. Faith sees things that are not before they are. Watch this. I could give you all kinds of illustrations. I prayed. I'm just going to give you two quick ones. I'm done. I know why people, when they pray for people who are sick, they say, "Oh." I told you years ago about a man named Joe Talmatez. He had a cancer in him as huge as, they said, it was huge as a pineapple inside him. And God actually went to open my lips. He said, "You're not going to die. God's going to give you a miracle healing." And I prayed, God heal him. And I believed it. And 2 days later, about 2 or 3 days later, the hospital came back and said, "Go home, Mr. Talmatez. Here's the thing. Here it is. Here's a new one. It's gone. We can't explain it. Go home. It's gone." Now, those of us who really believed, we had gladness and praise for God. His brother-in-law, who was lost, and I said, "God's going to do it. So you can trust Christ as your Savior. You're going to see a miracle from God." He said, "Oh, I don't believe you ever had in the first place." I said, "Well, then go to hell." It was a big party. Shut the party right on down, Eddie. I really have a knack of tearing places up sometimes. I did. I feel, everybody, it was 45, they're all, it's a big, it just closed it down, right? I was only there for 15 minutes, Eddie. And shut the party right down. Because I went there to tell that brother-in-law, "All right, you've seen God do this miracle. Now let's get saved." I wanted to trust Christ right then. He said, "Oh, no, he never had it anyways." And so he pushed me. He crossed me, Roddy. And so I said, and my voice carries, and of course I was really upset. I said, "All right then, after the living God did that for your brother-in-law, who he loved like a brother, I said, you deserve to go to hell." That's it. Everybody put their Pepsis down. And it's over with. Coca-Cola, it's right. Didn't matter what they were drinking. The pretzels, everything. It's gone. It's all over. And I knew right away. I said, "You know, Joe, I'm glad you're helping. Me and Rosie got to leave." But I didn't care. That guy should have been on his knees thanking God. And a lot of them just said, "Well, maybe preacher." I said, "No. See, the reason they didn't have the gladness. See, a lot of times when God does some things in your life, he still does it despite you. You let Satan say, "Oh, well, it really, really wasn't God anyways." And that's why you forfeit the oil of gladness. There was a lady that was blind in the church at Danny Ellis' church, and I was evangelist at the time. And God told me that I'm not a faith healer. Please don't. But God told me that if I would just pray over her, put my fingers in her eyes and pray that she would see her sight. I saw God do miracles, kids. He really can do them if you'll just believe him. He can do them. I'm not a faith. I'm not trying to be. I'm just telling you, I have faith that God can do things. We have a great God. It's not me, it's the Lord that does it. But I have faith that he can do it. We went to her husband, and I put my fingers in her eyes, and I said, "God, let her receive her sight." And she received her sight. And the gladness that came all over me and Brother Alice, we just started to cry and praise God. You know why? Because, see, we believe God could do it. You know, a lot of times God does things for our life. He does great things in our life. We pray, and then we don't even give him credit for it. And we wonder why we don't have the joy. See, when you really pray, I'll give you this last one. we mentioned about our gas being shut off, what hasn't 20-some years ago. We prayed every day that God would send me money. We needed $350 to turn our gas on 20-some years ago. And every day, David Richard knows what I'm talking about. We prayed, I said, oh God, send us $350 so I can turn the gas back on for my kids. And I went up to Cleveland at a Christian, a BBF fellowship, Eddie, years ago. Years ago when there was a lot of guys who still believed like we do at that time, 20-some years ago. And a preacher who was pastoring over in this area, amazing, Tawny, Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Right now, how many of you ever went to the Chapel Hill Mall? Ever been to Chapel Hill Mall? There's a little Baptist church right across from the parking lot there. Yeah, Chapel Prayer, is that what it's called? Anyways, a preacher named Brother Bob Fleming, I didn't know him. He came up and he said, we were eating lunch. He said, God spoke to me. He said, you need something. I said, well, we've been praying that God would send us some money to turn our gas back on. He said, you'll have it in a couple of days. He sent me a check for the exact money that we were praying for. You want to get a great book about prayer? Get the book by Dr. John R. Rice, Prayer, Asking and Receiving. See, don't make your prayers vague. Make them specific. Ask God for a specific thing. And then when He does it, and if you really believe it, and when He does it, you'll know the oil of gladness. The trouble is Christians don't believe that God can do things. He can do things. I know that building I'm telling you about out there. Can you imagine I actually walked that off and put all that up? You know why I did that, Rod? I believe God can do it. But not only do I believe God can do it, I believe God is going to do it. And He's going to do it this year. You say, boy, our preacher, he's popping too many vitamin pills. I have faith in a living God. You want to know gladness? Christians forfeit the oil, good Christians forfeit the oil of gladness because when they pray, they don't pray with faith. Had those men in Acts chapter 12 that was praying for Peter really believe God was going to release them? Oh, they wanted Him to, but they said they were astonished. Ruthie, that means they prayed for Him, but they didn't really believe it was going to happen. Right? That's how most of us pray. God, we wish You could do this. But if you say, God, I'm going to count on You to do this. I'm really going to count on You to do this. And when He does it, you'll see those people that really believed. See, she opened not the gate for gladness. Isn't it amazing the word gladness was there? She opened not the gate for... Why didn't she open that gate for... She should have said, oh, Peter, we've been praying for you. God released you. You think she would have been glad. Oh, I'm sure she was happy. But happy and glad are two different things. I'm not going to preach on that tonight. She didn't have the oil of gladness from God because she didn't have faith that God was going to release her right then. And many times God does things in your life and you miss out on the blessings and joy of God doing great things in your life all because we don't believe. She opened not the gate. I wonder how many times that we prayed and we say, oh God,
Will you do this? And then when he does it, we say, well, it probably would have happened anyways. Just a coincidence. Yeah, it probably would have happened even if I wouldn't have prayed. Hello? And you forfeited. You forfeit the oil of gladness. Last thought. It's probably 3 or 4 years ago. I told Eddie to build me a road. I said, Eddie, put me a road on that land. Eddie, I made a statement here. I went home, and Rosie said, what did you say? I said, we're going to launch balloons from that new property we bought, and 1,000 people are going to come on that land. And I'm going to be honest with you, Tammy. My wife said, do you realize what you said? And I said, yes, I'm an idiot. But I said, honey, I don't know how God's going to do that, but it came out of my mouth. And I'm actually going to believe, because it didn't come out of me. Well, it came out of my mouth, but it wasn't prompted by Rich Skiver. I believe it was a prompting of the Lord. I told the whole church, we're going to have 1,000 people on that. 1,000 people. And a lot of you, along with me, we watched them come in that day. Car after car after car. How many remember that? Some of you came crying to me, preacher, we're so sorry. We didn't believe. They didn't realize I was having a hard time believing myself. And that's why always we had, but I had the oil of gladness that day. Because I saw God do something I believed I said he would do. When you build that new building for me, when we play basketball in that gym, I'm going to have the oil of gladness. Because I believe my God's going to build that building. When you pray, pray believing. And then when you receive it, you'll receive not only that what you prayed for, but I believe you'll receive the oil of gladness because of faith. God bless us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. Pray, dear God, that you'll bless everyone here tonight. You know, there's a lot of folks here that have special needs in their life. Would to God you'd come down tonight, Holy Father. Just like you came down for Peter. Lord, I would to God you'd come down for these people and whatever they need, miraculous or not miraculous, I pray that you'd answer their prayers. I pray you'd put a prayer in their heart tonight that they would ask you to do something. But they would ask believing. And when they receive it, Lord, they would receive it with the oil of gladness because they believe, they ask and you gave and they believed with faith. And Lord, it's so special when we ask in faith and receive in faith. There's a gladness. There's a joy that you give within that person. There's a gladness, a special joy deep within the soul. When someone who really prays and believes and they receive that which they pray for from you, you give them a special blessing of gladness. I pray that that gladness would be known at Bethel Baptist Church. And I pray for those who would listen to this tape tonight, all over the world that would, and through the states of America, that would, people that would log on to a Bethel Baptist Church website, pray that they would turn to you in faith tonight. Maybe some even for salvation, Lord. They can't even get nothing until they get salvation. Pray, dear God, that you would bless those that need you as Savior. And then those that know you as Savior, may they really know too also the joy and the oil of gladness. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening, before we go home tonight, how many could say, Pastor, I'm sure I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Would you pray to thank God for it? I'm saved and I know I'm saved. God bless you. God bless you. Would there be any tonight say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I die to go to heaven. I don't want to miss out on heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that tonight? Pray for me. And you know, when you ask Christ to save you, that was a prayer of faith, by the way. The reason you got so glad was because it was a prayer of faith and He answered it and you believed it. Maybe you need something. Maybe you need something special in your life. Maybe you really need something special from God in your life. And God's been having something on your heart for quite a while. And you say, tonight God spoke to me about something, Pastor. And I'm going to start praying about it. I'm going to take it to God. I'm going to try to trust God with that. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. God bless your heart. Oh, believe God. Believe God and get that wonderful oil of gladness that He gives to those that have faith in Him. Father, bless now tonight. You saw hands on both sides of the building. People's lives reaching up to You, reaching out to You. Come down. Meet their needs, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page, David? 394. Maybe you want to pray about something. You just come. You just come. That's right. You just come. That's right. Just come. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing another verse. People are praying. You might want to come. You just come. Lord, speaking to you, you just come. Just ask, talk to God. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Seek the Lord while you may. Call upon His name. God bless these teenagers. Lord, bless our teens. Thank you for every one of them. Help their lives. God, please help their lives. Put a hedge around them, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. You've been very good tonight. Preacher went longer than I